Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service.
Man. God came to Cain one day and he said, Cain, where's your brother? And Cain said, I don't know. He lied like a dog, didn't he? Many times my dad would come to me and say, son, who did this? I said, I don't know, Dad. I don't want to know. And something that happened in school, they always came to me. They said, you do this? I said, no, I didn't. I lied like a dog. Many today answer their questions with negative answers. Many people that you come to and you ask them this or that, and they may or may not tell you the truth, unless they're Christians. Of course, Christians, most of them will. They should all. But the people, I don't know why, they just give you negative answers. And that's not the way it should be. That's not what God wants to hear. That's not what God wants us to say. He wants us to say, honestly, I don't know, or honestly, I do know. Sometimes it's none of your business. Oh, that's not right either. But God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, I know. Genesis 22 and 12. Genesis 22, 12 says, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him, for now I know. You know, I want to talk about the I knows in the Bible. Specifically, I want to talk about the I knows that Paul had. But right now, I want to just lead you up to it. If you'll allow me, you know the story, how that God had told Abraham to take Isaac up on the mountain and sacrifice him. Abraham did not hesitate. He took the boy up on the mountain. Why? Because he knew God would take care of it. This was a miracle child. This was a child that God promised him to be the seed that would follow down line from him. And Abraham knew that God would not fail him, so he came and he offered the child. And as the dagger was coming down, God said, stop. Don't lay a hand on that child, for now I know that you love me. I know that you're mine. I know that you're going to do my will. Job was able to say, I know. When Job was praying and he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know he's alive. I know. How do I know? I just know because I feel him. I talk to him. He is mine. Hallelujah, and I am his. But Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he will stand upon the earth on the latter day. He will stand on the latter day upon the earth. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is going to stand on this earth again. Amen. I know it because he said it, and I believe his word. Peter denied knowing Jesus. They came to said to him and they said, aren't you one of them? And he said, I don't know him. Lied like a dog. God knew Peter because he said, my sheep know my voice and I know them and they follow me. So God knew Peter. He knows you. He knows me intimately. He knows everything about us. He knows when we get up. He knows when we go to sleep. He knows what we think. He knows what we want. God knows you. And, you know, God gave his holy word so that we could know that we know him. Paul said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that marvelous? that God would give his word. We don't have to wander around this world wondering whether we're saved or not. We don't have to, somebody ask us, are we saved? And I've asked people and they say, well, I sure hope so. I want to tell you, when you ask me if I'm saved, I'm going to say, yeah, because I was there when it happened. And I ought to know. I know that I know that I know God is my Redeemer. I know that my God will stand on this earth in the latter days. I know that God is coming again. I know that Jesus died for me. I know His blood has washed me clean. I know that the Holy Ghost is my guide, my leader. I know that I know that I know. How do I know? Because I was there when it happened. I have experienced it in my heart. God gave His holy word. I'm so thankful that I serve a God that I know. I tell you, some of these people, they serve something else. Allah or some other guy. I never forget the guy on the airplane. I told you this story, and I hate to repeat myself, but it's here in my mind. And he said, how's your God better than my God? I said, my God's alive and yours is dead. He said, no, mine's alive. I said, no, he's not. His bones are still in the grave. I was there, and I know. My God is alive. Pastor went to the tomb. I haven't been to the tomb of Jesus, but it's empty. It's empty. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I'm so thankful. Paul said it long ago, and you and I may say it now. The person who follows Jesus has an anchor. We have an anchor. Paul's faith lifted him up above the unrest of the world. So Paul said, I know at least three times that I want to talk about, probably a lot more, and I didn't take time to look them all up, because there are 135 I knows in the Bible, and I didn't take time to look at all of them. But Paul said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Isn't that wonderful? Glory. He said, I know in whom. He didn't say in whom. He said, I know whom. I am personally acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know my Savior by first name, and He knows me. I know whom I have believed. I am convinced, I am persuaded, there is no doubt in my mind that what I have committed unto Him, He will keep until that day. What day? Until that day when I meet Him face to face. Until that day when I enter into heaven's glory. Until that day that this old body fades away and I'll have a new body and I'll have a new life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll be in heaven on the way. Isn't that wonderful? I love the Lord so much. We pass by men who says, I guess, and we just pass him up. We see a guy that he's not really sure and we go around him. But if we see a man that says, boy, I know what I'm talking about, and he does know what he's talking about, then I'll stop and listen to him because I want to hear, I want to learn. Send a salesman to my house to sell me something, and if he doesn't know, if he's not convinced what he has and that he knows what his product does, I won't have anything to do with him. You go on your way. But if he comes and he knows what he's doing, I may not buy from him, but I'll listen. Because he knows what he's saying. Amen. I want to tell you, when you begin to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ to someone else, you better know what you're saying. You better know what the Bible says. You better know, thus saith the Lord. You don't have to know it all, but you know to know what you're talking about. If you don't know anything else, then just tell them what God has done for you. And you ought to know about that because you were there when you were saved. So you ought to know. Glory. If my car is thumping and bumping and I'm going down the road, I don't go to the doctor, I go to a mechanic. And if I'm sick in my body, I don't go to a mechanic, I go to the doctor. I want to go to somebody who knows what he's talking about. I want to know somebody that will make it well. If someone knows, we stop and listen. Paul, possibly the greatest Christian that ever lived, other than Jesus Christ himself, had an experience with Christ, and he says, now I know. I know. Someone asked me, oh, you're one of them? I say, yes, sir, I am. I am. I'm one of them. And if you don't like it, then I'll go somewhere else, and you can be what you want to be. But I love my Lord and my God and my Savior. So we stop and listen to those that know. If you have honestly had an experience with Christ, you can say, I know. You don't have to say, well, I hope so. Or maybe. But yes, I do. Yes, I do. Hallelujah, I know. You may guess about many things. You may not even understand the Bible. But get in and study it so at least you'll know something about it. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. How can you say, I know whom I have believed, if you don't have that experience with him? Because I have that experience because I met him one day face to face. One day I knelt at the altar and I said, Lord Jesus, save my soul. And he was there and he met me. And he's been with me ever since because he promised he would not leave me and not forsake me. He'd go with me to the ends of the world. I'm confident. I know that my Savior liveth, and I know that he's here tonight, and I know that he's with me wherever I go. I'm here to tell you, I know I'm saved. I'm positively convinced. You can't talk me out of it. Because I have that experience. And I'm not bragging, people. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you my conviction because I love the Lord. You know, there was a Sir James Simpson of Edinburgh, I think Scotland. He was famous because of his discovery of the anesthetic qualities of chloroform. He discovered that you could use chloroform and put a person to sleep and then do what you needed to do to repair their bodies, and they would come back okay. But he said, my greatest discovery was when I learned that I was a sinner and I took Jesus Christ as my Savior. Isn't that something? You know, Christianity is like a storm outside of this building. And we've got cement-blocked walls, and we've got good, strong doors and windows, and the roof is tight, and we can be secure in here. That's the way Christianity is. The storms may rise against us. The storms may blow, and whatever Satan can do. But I want to tell you, I'm safe in the arms of Jesus. I'm covered by the blood of Christ, and Satan cannot cross that bloodline. He cannot get to me because Jesus said, I am his and he is mine. Oh God, oh God. We can truly say, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I am positively sure that that will happen. The wonderful thing is not, as I said, that we believe in him, but we know him. We know him personally. Oh, it's good that we believe in him. It's absolutely necessary that we believe in him. But it's more necessary that we know him. Because you see, the devil believes in him. And he's not saved. But we believe that we know him. And we do. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even as many as believe on his name. Thank you, Jesus. I know him personally. You know him personally. We know whom we have believed. And we can be persuaded. We are persuaded that he will keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The second thing that Paul said, probably one of the most difficult scriptures in all the Bible for us to understand and accept. And he said in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. The Bible does not say that all things are good. It says that God orchestrates those things so that in the end they turn out good for us. When I read this Bible, I think about little babies that are molested, that are beaten, that are killed, that are all things happen to them. I think about people that get cancer. And it's terribly painful, and it died from, my father died from cancer. Had three cancers, one in the brain, one in the lung, and one in the colon. It's just terrible. My grandfather died of colon cancer. I think every one of my DeWitt relatives, save one, have died of cancer. It's a terrible thing. And I think about that, and I think, God, how can you make that work for good to me? Well, I don't know, but I believe God. There are things that I don't know, but I know God. And I believe him. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded. We see horrible accidents on the highway. We've lost loved ones. My mother and father died on the same day, broke my heart. And then my brother, whom I love more than my own life, died. And I think, God, how can this work for good for me? How does it work, God? I don't understand. But he gives me peace. Peace that the world can't give. He gives me peace over this. I seldom have an answer when somebody asks me about this, but I go back to God's word because I know, I am persuaded, I have no doubt about it, that God said, I will work it out so that it will be good for you. You know, in this life, we have to go through trials and tribulations. And yes, we even have to suffer for him. But in the end, it will be good for us. Christians know intuitively, though they may not fully understand and sense it experimentally, they know intuitively that in all things, God works for good to those that love him. We don't understand how it works, but he said it does, and I believe God. I believe that it does. Sister Stephanie, it's got to work because God said it. The things themselves may not be good, but God harmonizes them together for believers and the ultimate good, because his goal is to bring them into perfection, into his presence. According as he has chosen us unto him before the foundation of the earth, of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, Ephesians 1 and 4. Even adversities and afflictions contribute to the good end for the Christian. And I've had people stand up in my face and say, yeah, how does all this happen? How does this work for good for me? I don't know, but I believe God. And I believe God's word. His working is on behalf of those who love him. Did you hear me say it? God works on behalf of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. It's important to note that a believer's love for God follows God's calling of him and is the product of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within him or her. Called means more than being invited, it is a summons. You know, if you're a witness in the court, they'll give you a summons, and you better not ignore it. You better go. And God gives us a summons, and it's not the same kind of summons as you got in the court, but you better go. You better answer that call, because he has called us. Romans 1:5-6, we have received the grace and apostleship for obedience to faith among all nations for his name, among whom we are also called of Jesus Christ. It's not that you loved him, but that he loved you and gave his son as a propitiation for your sin. You didn't come to him because you wanted to. You come because you were called of God. You come because the Holy Spirit moved upon you and convicted you, and you responded to that conviction. You didn't walk down the road one day and say, well, I'm going to be a Christian. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You might say, yes, the way it worked, but no, you didn't. You can't come to God except through Christ, and you can't come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit calls you. Isn't that wonderful? How it works? For we know that our earthly house, this is the third I know. For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle. Now, I said I know twice. Now I'm saying we know, you and I. We know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. If it were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Glory to God. I want to tell you what, I'm getting older and older and older, and I got news for you, so are you. And your body's getting feebler and feebler and feebler. Yeah, it is. And one day you're just going to give up and you're gone. But when that happens, God's going to have an eternal home for you in heaven. He's going to have a new body. You'll have a new body. John, you're going to be well. You're going to be young. You're going to be healthy. You're going to be running the streets of gold. Glory to God. I'll run you a foot race when we get there, buddy. Won't that be good? Every day our bodies, as I said, are growing weaker and weaker, older and older. But God's word said, it's all right, son, daughter, it's okay. That's the way I planned it. I say, God, why'd you do that? Why didn't you make me old first and let me get younger as I age? God said, that's the way I want it. When this body's used up, God will give me a better body. That's not speculation. That's God's word. That's what he said. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and gather you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. Paul said that this body will take on immortality. Huh? Hallelujah. I'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Glory to God. I don't know what I'm going to be like, but Paul said, I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to have a forever body and live in a house of see-through gold, where I could just see right down through all the streets and all the houses and everything below me. And I can see right here, I can see God's throne in that city of transparent gold. Hallelujah. God will be the light of that city. The Bishop of London came to a little girl one day years ago that was dying, and she was afraid. She didn't know what was going to happen, and so he said to her, young lady, do you know who I am? And she said, yes, sir. He said, if I were to pick you up and carry you into the next room, would you be afraid? And she said, no, sir. He said, I'm telling you that there's coming a man that's greater than me, and he will pick you up and he will carry you into heaven. You don't need to be afraid. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? When I read that story, I just kind of thrilled with it. Oh, if we could just live in close fellowship with Christ, heaven would never be far away. One day God took Moses up on a mountain and he said, Moses, here's the promised land. If you look, you can see everything. I suspect he gave him telescopic vision so he could see way out there and see what was going to happen and see all the promised land that the children were going to inherit. Then he said, Moses, you can't go. But God made a better home for him. God took him to the promised land. Although Moses could not go into the promised land here on earth, he went into the promised land that God had made for him. And God took his body and he buried it and he hid it so that no one can find it. But Moses is in heaven. How do I know that? I know because I know. And I know because I read about people seeing him on the Mount of Transfiguration. Glory to God. I know that Moses is there. God gives us a house here, but it's temporary. He's building us a home in heaven. With blood-stained hands, he just keeps on building. Just keeps on building. It was a man in Tennessee who had some carrier pigeons, homing pigeons. And he knew what was going to happen, but he turned them loose. And the homing pigeons went up above the house, above the cage where they were, and they circled a couple of times, and then they hit a beeline straight away. And in a couple of days, they landed in their home cage in Ohio. They knew where they were going. God gave them a homing instinct so that they knew where they were going. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, God has given us a homing instinct. We know where we're going. And when we're loose from this cage on earth, we're going to fly straight to that home. There'll be no deviation. We'll be with God. Glory, 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 hallelujah. I'm so glad that God put that instinct within me that I want to make heaven my home. We long for a life after this life, an eternal home where cares and sorrows will never touch us. God in his mercy has provided those things for us and for all who will accept his Son. Someday our earthly house will fall flat, and someday the school of life will be over, and then God will open the door and we will be with him forever and ever and ever. Are you ready? Remember the words Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. We must be born again. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm thankful that I think every one of you said what I said, you ready? You said yes. I'm glad. Pray for me that I'm ready, and I'll pray for you that you're ready. Let's hold each other up. Let's admonish one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's love one another. Let's not have any bad feelings among us, but let's love.
Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest message, and in the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.